Has the trend finally shifted? Is it now cool to be a geek? All that and more on the latest episode of the Real Mentors Podcast.
Welcome everybody to a special episode of the Real Mentors Podcast, where we usually talk about movies, TV, have a little fun along the way. There's not really one of our normal episodes. We got a very special guest who's making his second appearance with us. I'll introduce him in a second. But first, let me give due where credit's due here, Mr. George Ripoll, our technical producer. Welcome again, man. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, bro? What's up?
Doing good, man. Oh, you sounded better. You got rid of Barry White again.
Yeah, man.
We had an episode early. He brought back his Barry White intro, which I don't know why.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Going back to the well. Yeah. Like, okay. Old faithful.
That's right, baby.
But he's back. George came back. All right, so I'm good to hear. And our guest, of course, a Brazilian sensation, a very funny comedian, Mr. Eric Da Silva.
Boom.
Welcome back.
Boom. What's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
I am exhausted. I literally just drove 5 hours from Jacksonville and avoided my family to come here. So thank you for helping me avoid my family. I really appreciate that.
That's what we do here, man. We love you, man.
Yeah. Screw those kids.
Damn, kids always getting in the way. God damn it. Any breakers. So we're doing you a favor, Mickey.
Yeah, totally.
We'll make us an extra long show just
absolutely.
In case. You know?
Please.
You remember the gift to yourself?
Oh, yeah. I remember all my gifts.
Now, of course, Eric, you were here for episode, our 10th anniversary episode. George.
Yo, thanks.
So it's been about 3 weeks since we've seen you and all that. It's good to have you here again, man. I appreciate you giving us
time.
Did you
guys finish the bracket?
We did finish the bracket.
Who came up on top?
We finished today. Rama.
Rama, yeah, okay, yeah. You know what? Totally.
Yeah, Rama ended up beating
Who do you fight?
Nikita, surprisingly. Wow. I got Nikita. I fought for her because I love my female contingent.
Uh-huh.
Against Martin Riggs, and I won.
Okay.
So I used her sexuality to her advantage.
Okay, I can see that. And then Riggs has got a soft spot for the ladies.
Of course. Yeah. And she beat Jason Bourne. Which is a big upset.
Wow, that's a big upset.
I chose her because you can't go out like that.
Right.
And there's something different. We had different locations this time around. It wasn't hand-to-hand combat. So because in one bracket, it was Nikita against Jason Bourne in Hunger Games style arena.
All right.
And we were each given a gift. Given one choice of weapon. And there it went off. Nikita ended up winning.
Was there any fight in space?
Not in space, man. I wish I had thought about that earlier. I really did.
I wasn't there.
Well, the second one we did was Lee against Rama.
Okay.
And we did it in...
That was a fight I was kind of wanted to really be a part of.
It was in a mall.
But it was a zombie infested mall, Dawn of the Dead. Yes, exactly. That is right. Yeah, so it was like that. So that was kind of interesting.
That's cool.
And the final, of course, Rama and Nikita. And we did it. Actually, George chose it. It was in Camp Crystal Lake.
Jason,
exactly. So a little interesting and all that. So ended up when.
Let me ask you a question. I was kind of hoping, I thought the final matchup was going to be Rama, John Wick. Because you're going to talk about a guy who fights from distance versus a guy who fights up close. I was kind of hoping to get that matchup. But Nikita is fine. But I was kind of hoping Wick would have made it to the end. Just because, I really like Wick. So that's...
I know he was one of the guys that you actually fought for.
I
lost in the next round. I forget who he lost to. But either way...
I think that he lost to Martin Riggs.
It's possible. And he did lose to Martin Riggs, yes.
If you're going to lose to anyone,
exactly. Riggs is a
pretty good. I'll accept that.
You can't fault that. It's fine. I'm fine. But it was good. I was looking forward.
That's great. So Rama is the first annual badass.
Yes. All right. That's fun. We'll probably have... my phone is on. That was embarrassing. Let me turn this down.
Put it aside. Come on. Be a goddamn professional.
I didn't realize it was on. There we go.
You're always shitting on George. You're the guy. I was like, Jesus.
Anyway, so Eric, I mean, we go how many, like 13 years, whatever it takes, more or less. It's been a while.
Back,
worked at a game retailer.
It's a game stop to play your games.
Exactly. We play games and get paid for it.
Let me tell you something. I still tell stories about that to people.
I do too.
Because they don't believe the stuff we did. When we disconnected the Nintendo display and the PlayStation display and put Xboxes in there, so we had a wired LAN party of just straight Halo before there was such a thing. Yes, yes. We did all that, and then people would come in to buy stuff from the store, and we'd make them wait until the campaign was over. That is awesome. That is one of my favorite memories of all time. I've had children, and I'm still like, that's my favorite moment ever.
We ignored all. We were playing Halo, ignoring the customers. It's Halo Mondays.
Oh yeah, Halo Mondays. And remember when a customer was really annoying, we would challenge them to a game, and if they lost, we would take a photo of them and ban them.
We banned them from the store.
That's great. Yeah, that's
It was an experience. You're right. It's good stories to tell. We can literally do a whole show about that if you really want to. We have to get Peter here to join us.
Oh man, we got Peter in that one.
But that's another day. We go back. But I mean, Eric is probably a. And I mean, is lovingly, of course, probably one of the biggest nerds that I know.
Dude,
yeah, there's no shame in that. He's hardcore.
No, I own that. He owns it.
Yeah. But which brings, I just thought about this right now before the show started. Obviously, you're a nerd and all that, but we agreed. Everybody agrees on that. But do you think, I know like back then, obviously I'm a lot older. Well, not a lot older, but I'm older than Georgia. There was a stigma about geeks and nerds and oh my God, you know, they're never going to get laid or whatever, the worst, embarrassing, whatever. But it seems like the tide has changed on that. Like, where it's almost socially acceptable to some degree.
Okay. If you are a nerd or geek. It's funny you say that because I don't know if I ever told you this, but like for many years before like being a comic book nerd was cool, I called myself a SAG, which is a socially acceptable geek. And so basically, there's geeks who like love video games and comic books and like magic cards, and they can't get laid. They can't do it. It's just impossible for them. And then there's guys like me who had to learn how to love comic books and still get pussy on the side. So it was a socially acceptable
No easy
geek.
Feat.
Not an easy feat. No. Like it should be.
It's an uphill battle.
My montage training scene is like right out of Bloodsport. It's a lot of hits in the leg and me going, oos! And then talking to a girl and remembering which episode Gwen Stacy died in Amazing Spider-Man. It's very hard.
I can envision like a Rocky-esque montage, Survivor in the background. Chasing chickens, looking at comic books. You know, I can see that.
And it's like a wheelbarrow full of back issues. Like, Drago! Yeah, it's a whole thing.
I can see
I worked very hard at that. And now you could just be a nerd and get pussy
anyway. That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's amazing because now Comic-Con, there's more non-nerds than there are the TV studios, the movie studios. The most popular movies are the comic book movies.
True.
The casual fan always watch them now.
Women readers are the biggest group of comic book readers growing right now.
I heard that. Yeah,
they also do cosplay. Like, there's a big thing about cosplay.
But now it's even bigger. Now
it's almost like, because before cosplay used to be girls who are into anime. Those were the primary cosplayers. Yeah. And now there's a big influx of like girls who are cosplaying. And here's the thing too. Attractive women.
Oh, super hot.
Never seen. Like, I remember seeing like, oh, that girl's a cosplayer, but ill. You know what I mean? It was the kind of thing. It was the kind of stuff where you just go, oh man, if she just had like 35 pounds less and one less lazy eye, she
would be
so
great. Eight beers less, you get.
Oh yeah.
It's like when they say than alcohol.
Now you're at comic conventions and they're like, oh, there's a rave and we're all just doing drugs and fucking. I'm like, I want that. No, I want to go there for.
You're right. I think on Instagram, some of these girls, a friend showed me a million followers, whatever the cosplay, and that's a big deal now. But it's like, it's not a bad thing, man. It's no longer Star Wars' biggest movie. Well, yeah. Star Wars is its own entity, but
yeah. I almost feel like being a nerd, though. I almost feel. There's gonna be eventual like break off where people go, oh, I used to be a nerd, now I'm this thing. I almost feel like most people, I didn't say nerds because it's a cool thing to do.
Right. Yeah.
Almost like everyone was into hip hop in the late 90s or into grunge in the mid 90s. Yeah. So it was just a thing.
Are you calling it a phase? Is that what you're doing? Like a phase?
For the level that it is, I think it's
eventually, I agree. It's gonna die down. I won't say it's gonna become socially unacceptable it was 10 years ago.
It'll just be more condensed.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you know they're having all kinds of superhero movies from like here to like about.
Everybody watches them. All the casual folks.
And here's the thing. People who put these movies together, they're smart about it. Like, hey, we're gonna get this actor who's handsome, and we're gonna make him physically get in shape to the point that he looks like a superhero. Every girl's gonna watch it and go, and that's gonna make them want to go. I know girls who love Chris Hemsworth from Thor and just go to see him without a shirt on.
Oh, yeah,
that's the only reason to go see him.
But does that make them not all average guys have to be like superhero like, you know, it's like
just like saying we're going to want to date like the hot chicks you see in Hollywood. It was not the case. So
I mean I do, but seriously, that's not
all we're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
so, like a wish list.
Sometimes I like a girl with low self esteem. Just a girl that's very attainable.
Of course, less work. Game some of like three. No, just
a really shitty best friend who's happened to be a whore. That's a great combination right there.
She just broke up with her boyfriend. You scoop up the rebound. Let's do this.
Girl who's just finished her second marriage. That's perfect. That's
show a picture of Chris Hemsworth. You can do Netflix and chill to Thor. Automatic. It's a wrap.
You're closing deals and you're going to screw no Asgard when you finish. That's basically it. You're a holy warrior now.
He's on cosplay in there at the same time. Who knows?
But it is. You're absolutely right. There is a big influx. I honestly never thought it was going to get to this level. Things started to become that way, I go, oh, we finally reached the level. I didn't know it was going to get this big. I thought the level would first start getting out. I was like, cool. But you know, I like the fact that there's girls now who are just very open about liking Star Wars and video games. I like the fact that they may not know combo continuity, but they know movie continuity, and they treat it like their own version of continuity, and they're impassioned
about it. And they're familiar with it.
And they're like, you know, this is kind of weird, but I like what they did with this movie there. I'm like, that's cool. I mean, unfortunately, now it's carrying over to places where it shouldn't be. I heard two dudes having a really deep conversation over the merits of the Fast and the Furious saga. It's not a saga. They called it a saga. Like, Star Wars is a saga. Fast and the Furious is a bunch of fucking shit movies about cars that go fast. It's not a goddamn saga. Just because one guy died in real life doesn't make it serious now. Right? Go fuck yourselves. It's not a saga.
It's Vin Diesel, man. He worn saga title.
You know,
man.
He did enough movies to eventually get a saga, and the one that's a saga is not even a sci-fi movie. All his other sci-fi movies are shit except for Guardians of the Galaxy. And the other movie
that's not true. Pitch Black.
All right, I'll give you pushback. Okay. And you know, if we're gonna get technical, Iron Giant. I'll get that too. Iron Giant's fantastic.
Well, no, it's a great movie.
It's a great. Yeah, okay. He sells it as a great
movie. Now those movies are about more like a heist than they are about cars.
These movies are terrible.
It's like they go somewhere, they rob some bigger thing, and then
they're
dumb
fun because I'll watch it. Okay, whatever. It's some cool stuff in there, but it's bad.
Like The Last Wish Hunter. I just saw that recently. That was
we haven't seen that.
We saw that one. Yeah,
that was plain. It wasn't horrible.
No, it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't great either.
It was no saga. I can tell you that.
No, it was not a saga.
No, you're not getting laid when you get that movie. But you right. I mean, at some point,
at some point, it was better though. But that's it wasn't a saga.
It's not a saga. My God, it's bad. Those guys aren't getting laid for sure. But you're right. You know, it's become acceptable now. Geek is not a bad. No, we're wrong. There's still the extreme geeks.
Right, and they're still. But I really hate Big Bang Theory. The TV show Big Bang Theory.
I haven't watched a couple episodes.
I hate it because to me, I feel like that's like nerd blackface. Like, it's just like, hey, mammy, I'm a nerd. I love computers. That's almost what they think nerds are. And I'm watching, I go, who the fuck even acts like that? Like you can't be the type of nerd they're pretending to be and still get laid. And like,
now,
and
do you think that show should be ending? Because I think the characters
have
nowhere.
I think it ended after the first episode.
That show shouldn't have started exactly.
Oh, yeah, I hate that show to the point that...
Going back to what you're saying, that's a false depiction of the nerds today.
Right.
That was maybe like...
Yeah, it was probably
like 20 years ago.
Because
it was 20 years ago, they shouldn't be in the situation they are now. There's no way any of these nerds would have picked up any hot puss on the snow.
Exactly.
All of them would have been Sheldon. Exactly. It would have been five dudes all like Sheldon.
Yes.
That's what real life is. They were that level of nerds.
He's not hitting Blossom?
No.
He's not hitting Blossom.
I mean, technically it's because the guy who plays him is gay. But whatever the point, it doesn't matter.
Fair enough.
I'm just saying is they all would have been Sheldon level neurotic and never been able to engage on anybody. And when they try to make them like relatable, I go, you can't have it both ways. You can't be a socially acceptable geek. You can't be a SAG and that hardcore nerd all at the same time. No. You have to be one of the
I think now, you're right. I think now, if we steal your terms, I think a majority are in the SAG category.
Right.
I would say.
Most people.
For the most part.
Right.
Yeah. And actually, you see a lot more girls and all that, which is unheard of. You know, I mean, when I was growing up, that was like, you geek is the worst thing ever. You're a nerd. Comic books were like,
yeah.
I was like,
now there's more and more conventions, you know, like there's more and more places popping up. Yeah, yeah.
No, the way I see it is like this: as long as people are into it, I'm happy about it.
Oh, that's good.
I just don't like. I don't like it when they try to still say you can't be eight type of nerds in one. That's it. You can only be one. It's like Highlanders in a sense. Like, you are only in one category.
Yes.
You're either like a really cool person who knows a little bit of the nerd things because it's popular, or you're such a fucking hardcore nerd that you're socially irrelevant.
Yes.
And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. This is your level. Like, you can have a job and pay your taxes and just be really into World of Warcraft and never engage with real people. But don't pretend that that guy is the same guy as the bottom end dude who can get laid but just happens to know that Captain America's real name is Steve Rogers.
Yeah. They have a good knowledge base of whatever, because of the movies and whatever. I mean, they call it comic books and they're growing up. Nothing wrong with that. And
right.
Video games and all that stuff.
But I hate when they kind of mash and they go, oh, you're all
no,
of this.
No. Exactly.
Everyone is, there's like eight categories. Yeah. It's like levels of addiction. Like, there's people who are high functioning addicts and there's people who can't handle their shit.
Exactly.
And that's really what it is. Like, I'm a high functioning nerd addict. I could totally do it. Those are the people who can't. And that's okay with them too.
No, hey, it is what it is. Be who you are.
Yeah, be who you are.
But
guys,
don't mix those people up.
Yeah, don't mix it up.
Don't mix it up.
Yeah, you can't confuse a gay dude for a transgender dude. Those are two different categories. They're in two different points of their lives. They're not all the same. Which, by the way, I have to say this. I thought of this idea recently. You know how, like, all these states are passing these religious freedom laws?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that for the LGBT community, I figured a way to get back at those states. Make the LGBT a religion and call it Lord God Believes in Togetherness. And so basically, we're going to make being gay a religion. So now they can't kick you out because you're infringing on your religious freedoms of being gay. So you're just flipping their idea on the other. And on the other side, think of it this way. If you're going to do that much sodomy, shouldn't you get a tax break? I think you should get a tax break.
That's a good point, though.
It's a good point. I was driving today, and I was like, I think gay people should make a religion. If Scientology can do it, why can't the LGBT community do it? Lord God Believes Togetherness. There you go. That's your religion.
No science.
And you could call it LGBT-ish.
No,
that's how you call
it. No Scientology speaking this damn show. We had a quick conversation about Battlefield Earth earlier on.
We tend to forget that.
It's terrible. Because we're talking about Rogue One and, Forrest Whitaker.
Oh, yeah.
So obviously it lends itself to
Earth. Forrest Whitaker had to learn that Xenu ain't got nothing on the Force.
Got him. Which, he actually looks good in this movie, though. I know you saw it.
Fantastic. And by the way, what's the fuck? Why do Star Wars nerds hate girls so much now? Like, is it because you don't get pussy, you can't see a girl lead? What the hell's...
You're right. There's a lot of backlash. And now there's a second movie in a row with female lead. Okay.
Like, who gives a shit? Like, to me, the minute I saw Leia shoot a stormtrooper and tell people to get the fuck out because she was commanding them in the Hoth base, I'm like... Yeah, she's an OG.
She was more a man than Luke was.
Yeah, she really was. She owned that shit. She gave Luke an ass like, who the fuck are you supposed to be? Like, who looks at a stormtrooper? You're trapped. You're like, aren't you the short be a stormtrooper? Like, he can shoot you. You're a prisoner.
Care, man. But you're right. I don't get it. You're right. There's a lot of crap about that. I don't give a shit. I'm fine with it.
As long as it's
a good character.
Yeah, because
like
Ray,
for example, who I like Ray a lot.
Right.
Okay.
I thought Rey was dope. This other chick looks badass. She came off like such a Han Solo character when she goes like, I thought this was a rebellion.
Oh, I rebel.
I'm like, oh, fuck. I was like, I'm done.
Like, I didn't quite like that line. I know, you seem a little, I don't know, it's kind of weird.
I like
it. I rebel. Whatever.
To me, as a first-time Star Wars character introducing, that line, if it's not on par, it's slightly below, I love you. I know. Like,
that's a badass line. That's a badass line.
But I'm sorry.
You can't compare it to.
But I'm sorry. That line, I thought this was a rebellion. I rebel. Like, that's like, really, it's in the, it's, if
you're
it's
reaching
not
a little,
equal,
you're reaching
it's right below.
It.
That's a dope ass line.
They were talking about, J.J. Abrams had an interview. They were talking about the parentage for Rey. You know, like, they didn't mention her last name.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he slipped and he said something that her parents were not in episode 7. And then he said, oh, I meant to say that, you know, they have not run into her yet or whatever. Right. So that killed a lot of the theories that were going on about her parents.
Because they were saying that the heroine in this new movie is going to be Rey's mother. Right. Which is
then,
stupid. But
then they also talked about how she might have been a Kenobi because she heard Obi-Wan's Kenobi voice.
Sure,
voice.
Right.
So like that, they were
different...
saying that she might be like a relative of Obi-Wan.
I really wish her parents are someone we haven't met before.
Yeah, I want somebody else. I mean,
let's expand the universe beyond Skywalker, for Christ's sake, and Kenobi.
I might accept a little bit of the Skywalker just because, but I'm open to a whole different parents' line.
Yes, well, thank you. Give us something new.
He also talked about how this new movie resembles Episode 4, you know, like a lot.
Okay.
You know, some of the scenes, but they were saying that they had to introduce some of the stuff that was going on.
You talking about Rogue One?
How Episode 7 resembled Episode 4.
Oh, yeah,
there were a lot of critics.
It was a love letter to the first three movies.
Right, but then they said that in order for them to expand about 8 or 9, what 8 or 9 were going to do, they had to go back to the originals.
It's like
a mirror copy.
It's exactly what I said. It's like they had to remind you what made you love Star Wars first before they go somewhere new with it. But they had to remind you. They had to let you know.
It made sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was fine with it.
On a filmmaking level, on a rewarding the fan level, and then in the franchise reestablishment level, you had to do it.
You had to play it safe because they couldn't afford to mess us up.
Uh-huh.
So give us what we all know.
Exactly. Make us familiar. Yeah, I'm okay with
it. A Tatooine quote unquote Jakku, but it looked just like Tatooine.
Exactly.
Look like
you have a Death Star, which is Star Destroyer.
Exactly.
But it's an homage to the original names Luke had. There was a lot of inside baseball homages. It was,
As long as it wasn't Phantom Menace.
But here's the thing. Episode 8, I'm totally ready for something brand new now.
And that's
because,
the thing that's where they're going.
Now, if it doesn't go new,
I'll be bothered.
Absolutely.
I'll be like, ready for it. Like, you made your piece. Let me know you know what the fuck you're doing. Now give me something new.
Exactly.
That's exactly.
And it was Ryan Johnson. He's much darker as a director. So he'll give us something different. Hopefully something darker.
Which, by the way, I think in that J.J. Abrams interview, it was Chris Rock that was interviewing, right? Because this came out. Chris Rock, in the middle of the interview, just go, hey, J.J., can you just save the Fantastic Four? Because I love them. And all the movies are so goddamn bad. That's the coolest thing. Chris Rock going, can you just save
that'd
the
be
Fantastic
funny.
Four? And you know what I gotta tell you? A J.J. Abrams Fantastic Four sounds like a fucking awesome idea.
All right, hey, you know what? He's the guy you want to start any franchise at this point.
Yeah.
Just start it. Don't continue.
Star Trek, that first Star Trek was fucking solid.
It was
fucking solid.
That's what I'm saying. That's what he does.
And I like some of his...
Even Mission Impossible, he brought back Mission Impossible when the second was garbage. He came back the third, which is a good solid flick.
And then
now his movies became better. Hey, man, sign me up, dude. And he should be the fixer. He's like a bad franchise Viagra or something.
Quentin Tarantino revival
of movies. I'm telling you, man. You got a bad franchise? Todd Sandler, J. Mavis. It rises back up. Here we go, dude.
That's exactly where do you think you're going? I'm not done with you yet.
Fantastic Four, whatever. Ghostbusters may need him enough.
It's great.
Having said all that, I mean, that's me. So either way, we can talk Star Wars all day.
So nerd shit. There you go. That's me.
Yeah, you know, of course. But for yourself, and it's funny because we had a good conversation about this, and I know you'd be good for this because in one of the episodes we did, we all got a chance to talk about our own personal DVD collection, Blu-ray, whatever, about what the movie you own, which you're embarrassed to own, but you still own it.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure it'll be a lot. And I've known Eric for a long time, and his taste.
I have a lot.
Daredevil.
Daredevil, director's cut, motherfucker. Oh, all right, yeah, I'm getting my shit done. That's how I do. Real life. I got Coolio up in that bitch. You can't escape this. This is real life.
Terrible Daredevil.
No, listen, like, and I said this before. The reason why I like Daredevil so much is because,
this is the Ben Affleck Daredevil.
This is,
not the Netflix thing.
No, you're right. But here's the thing. You got to understand. The movie comes out in 2002, right? We have been inundated with just Joel Schumacher Batman. I've lost faith in any kind of like mildly dark vigilante superhero.
Is that when it came out right around there?
Yeah, it came out 2002.
So if J.J. Abrams resurrects him, you know, with Schumacher, kill him?
Well, I guess.
You know,
yeah,
if you
yeah,
want
yeah,
a franchise killer, you know,
Schumacher,
bring Schumacher.
A murderer of franchise.
You're like, down. Give it Schumacher.
I hate it. Batman Forever and then Batman and Robin.
Oh, that was terrible.
Batman, the Mr. Freeze one was just the
everybody freeze.
It wasn't even the straw that broke the camel's back. It was the the shovel that hit you in the head while you're sleeping. Like, it murdered you. Like, I took a girl on a date on that. I was like, hey, you know, I'm into comic books. You want to watch? She's like, okay. And she's like, I am so not fucking you. Oh, I was like, yeah. Like, Joel Schumacher cop blocked me. That's how much I hate that motherfucker. You understand that? So, it was really, like,
that's
it really
bad.
So, after all that bullshit with the fucking nipples.
Yeah,
and
but
the
there were
other
comic movies that came out that time.
No, but nothing.
Because that one came out in 03.
But up at that time.
We had original X-Men.
Original X-Men, Spider-Man.
Blade,
but not, they were not vigilantes. Well, Blade was like a superhero horror thing at best. You gotta remember, the first two Blades are actually pretty scary. They had a heavy emphasis on the horror aspect. X-Men is over the top team action. Spider-Man is wish fulfillment on the level of Superman. So there was no like dude who is on the streets beating the shit out of dudes, making it gritty. Out of nowhere, you get fucking Daredevil, Ben Affleck, with a suit that looks dope. Still to this day, that costume, fucking dope-ass Daredevil costume, whatever you say. Now, does any of that fucking movie make any goddamn sense?
No.
It makes no goddamn sense. Daredevil is blind, and he still decides to write his name in gasoline in the hopes that someone notices and then sets it on fire later? That's ridiculous. Or he goes to the subway to go after that dude, but he apparently doesn't realize that trains make noise. Like, he's grew up in New York his entire life. You should be prepared for that. There's a lot of inconsistencies throughout the whole fucking movie. But I was so happy there were no nipples. I was so happy there was no over-the-top cheese. And let me tell you something. Colin Farrell, cheesy, fun cheesy. You know what? Colin Farrell was like Jim Carrey Riddler. Fun cheesy. Mr. Freeze, horrible. Poison Ivy, ridiculous.
Oh, Bane,
a goddamn joke.
Oh, Jesus.
A goddamn joke.
Horrific.
Bullseye and Kingpin were compared to those three guys from the last movie.
Wasn't Michael Clark Duncan?
Michael Clark Duncan. May God rest his soul. Yes, because he's dead now.
Oh,
like, that's like, I'm glad I got to see a little bit of that just to go, oh wow, maybe they can do a thing. I mean, now you watch the Daredevil Netflix series, you're like, oh my God, what a piece of shit. But at the time, it was so much better. It's almost like if you've been in an abused relationship for years and just someone just comes in and goes, hey, little guy. You're worth it. You're like, oh my God, I'm worth it. I don't deserve nipples and cheesy over the top neon. You can kind of find a decent level. And I was happy about that. Now as I'm older and I see that this, when people get it right, I know it's a piece of garbage. But at the time, it was a saving grace for me. It was a little bit like, oh fuck, maybe this could be a thing. Because they rushed the whole fucking show. They missed amazing things. Like, they had no stick figure in the whole fucking show. Bullseye came in way too fucking fast. They shit all over the electric concept all together. But it's almost like they wanted to do a highlight reel just in case they couldn't do another movie. And that's what they did. And
I barely remember that.
I remember all that shit because it makes me angry.
Yeah, you got the director's cut. I mean, you should be able to remember.
Yeah, I remember the director's cut. Like, some of the stuff they did, I thought was really cool. Like, they put the whole sensory deprivation tank for him to sleep in. I thought that was a really fun idea.
That was okay.
I like that. Really fun idea. I like the fact that you saw him, like, because he put himself, like, physically out there for so much, he had to, like, just chew oxycodone before he went to sleep because his body was that fucked up. I dug that. I like the fact that Bullseye had the Bullseye engraved in his skin instead of wearing the mask.
I hated that, dude.
No, I liked it. I liked it so much that they actually worked it into the comic book series, and the comic book series did it even better. It's not that he gave it himself. Bullseye's fighting Daredevil, and he tries to kill Daredevil's soon-to-be wife, and Daredevil gets so mad that while they're fighting, they break through a window storefront glass. Daredevil grabs a piece of glass and engraves the Bullseye into a skull, and each ring was a girlfriend that he murdered from Daredevil, so he would never forget him. I go, that's dope. Like, I thought that was really cool, and I really enjoyed that, those little elements of it. But overall, the movie is shitty, but there was a few things.
So were you glad when they made the series?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, that they actually made it what you remember.
The series is everything I wanted it to be. The minute I saw Stick, I literally yelled out loud. Like, I woke up my kids because I was so excited. Like, fuck, they got Stick. I was so excited.
Now, which season did you like better? The first one or second one? Because I'm assuming you've seen the second one.
I've seen the second one. I like the second season a lot, man.
I think that's where we're getting into it right
now.
What did you like? Like, the
first
progression?
All, okay, look, first of all, the first season, I thought one of the coolest things, the simplest, coolest things they did was the evolution of the suit throughout every episode. Like, okay. I thought that was really cool. It's to the point that halfway through the first season, they go back to like his first night out when he was just like in a hoodie.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, he was not even in a hoodie. He was like in a black mask.
He wasn't really, I'm going to be a superhero. He just had enough.
Right.
And I love that aspect. It's exactly how it is in a comic book. I thought it was great. And even in his suit, before he goes to the red body.
Well, they even expanded it.
Yeah, his gloves get padding on the knuckles to reinforce hitting. He gets a little bit of padding around the shoulders. And
then in the eyes with the face or whatever.
A little face plate underneath it just to take a better hit. Like little things like that. I was like, oh, cool. He's actually learning. So when he gets the suit made for him at the end, it's not like, well, how do you go from just black t-shirt to that? Like, no, he's learning.
Yeah, there was a progression.
Even when Stick gave him the fighting sticks, the batons, he incorporated that
into
the suit.
And he got the new one too that got made from
the... He got the new one, right. The second season.
Red one, the one that it
Billy
expanded.
Cole. Yes. And that's all. That's great. I love that evolution of it. I love the fact that they took their time to really let every phase of his development stand alone in its first episode. It wasn't rushed. It was like, now he's going to learn about this, and now we're going to show you how his endurance is. By the second episode, that hallway scene lets you know how much he can take and how much he can fight.
That's awesome, man.
And it was amazing. And the homage fight scene at season two down the hallway, fucking amazing too. Here's a kicker. In the second season, it wasn't just Daredevil that had his moment. Fucking Punisher
was on fucking point,
dude. Right, that was like old boy style. Like,
yes,
fucking,
I loved that scene, that the prison scene episode 9. Ridiculous, brutal. The whole show is brutal.
Yeah, with Wilson Fisk, that he goes, "Oh, I see you got my message." Right after the trial, they had this entire strategy, pissed all over it.
He really made that season, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, because I love Punisher. Did you think that they should maybe have waited and introduced Electro in the third?
No.
Yes, because that's my only problem with the show.
Because it felt like it died a little bit.
Punisher, I'm sorry. Right. Then they went to Electro, and I was like,
It took like a little dip.
A couple episodes, and I was like, I didn't find that interesting. She's good looking, great, that's wonderful, right? Whatever. But I just didn't find that interesting. I was like, okay, can I get back to Punisher? Because you knew he was coming.
Right.
And as soon as the whole thing trial started, then it showed elevated
again. But here's the thing, what I really loved about Elektra. Elektra served three functions. One, it lets you know that Daredevil has this really dark side that he doesn't want to acknowledge. And Elektra is the personification of, like, whenever he gets himself in trouble, it's usually because Elektra's bringing it.
Yeah, and I can see how her introduction actually leads to some of the good, the one of the better parts of the season.
Right.
You know, because you can see that he's arguing back and forth.
She's
like he's battling with.
She's not bad. Elektra
also opens up a much bigger world between the Yakuza, or the Hand, and Stick and his plan.
Yeah.
And like when you see how much bigger the Hand is and Stick's involvement is and what that means for Daredevil, you need Elektra to not feel forced in by realizing that his relationship with her was all part of a bigger plan, and then she was part of a bigger plan that he didn't know, involving the Hand itself. Like, it shows that the world is bigger than what Daredevil knows, and I like that idea. And Punisher, I think, was a great contrast between the secret machinations of two big organizations. It all three comes down to one dude making a choice. And Daredevil's choice was to learn and believe in what he can do for himself, and then leave Stick. And Punisher was to learn that for him to really be the kind of person that he needs to be, he has to destroy everything he was to go on this new mission.
Yeah.
And so to me, the whole series is about people making choices in the grander scheme of things. And the way Punisher shits the bed in the court scene because he has his own idea. The way Daredevil is willing to give up everything because he realizes he never really stopped loving Elektra. The way Stick was Darren Sheldon, it doesn't matter what you love, what matters is the mission. Everyone is making one choice in the bigger scheme of things. And that's why I thought all of that played well. It's just individual people making choices and that ramification, how much bigger it became. To me, and what I thought was really great too is that the whole season, to me, it felt like it was hitting all the notes that The Dark Knight hit about, like, escalation and revenge.
Now, did you feel toward the end that, like, did you feel toward the end there was, like, way too many hand fighters? Like, okay, he's going over here, now he's fighting more ninjas. Then he's going over here, and he's fighting more ninjas.
But to me, because I grew up reading comic books, the hand is, like, the infinite army. Like, yeah. It's always, especially because they, how they re-recruit people. I don't want to, but the way they re-recruit people, that's why they're endless. That's why.
Yeah, because I mean, I felt like that a little.
It's
bit.
Funny. I was okay with it. I mean, it got, the action wasn't as good as how the show started.
Aside right, from
the
and that,
but
what
but it's not. It's nitpicking. But the story got better.
And I will say this: the story got better. You may say the hand, the action that you get is good as the prison fight scene. I say the last two episodes, those fight scenes with the ninjas were fucking badass. When they go rescue Stick. And then the final fight on the rooftops.
See, that one, that's funny you mentioned that, because I was about to say that. That's one part that kind of irked me, because I know there were right before they get to the roof, and it's people coming downstairs in the door, or they have to go to the roof, and right. Daredevil says, there's people on the roof, and like she asks how many. He's like, too many to count.
Right.
Fine, fair enough. And they walk up, it's like, five guys.
Well, five guys were the boss. There was, if you
look at he said there were too many to count. There's five or six of them. Like,
on the other rooftops, there were more guys there. But when he killed that dude, they scattered.
I don't, they no, want that to be no, they, given. They scattered because with, I was with, thinking like what happened, Punisher's gonna come way on everybody, which did, but it would've been cool to see him early on way on everybody. Right. Then they go outside because he no, got rid of all
I, you know what I think
because I knew it, the Punisher's showing
I think you're right about yeah, that but yeah. I think maybe it was an issue of budget constraints at the end
that
of the
day. Possible so, I guess.
But you know, I even like the fact that the you know, the hand actually like masked their heartbeats,
right? That was,
so, that was cool, that
so
was
he
cool.
Had to learn and then Stick was like, oh, focus on their breath, you know, like, so then he had to focus and learn how to do it another thing.
No, it's cool.
So I mean, he has learned always the heartbeat, and then
he actually became a better fighter because the guy who kicked his ass in season one, he finally was able to take him down on himself by season two.
Easy,
so like you see his level of fighting ability really kept going.
Yeah, so that was like another thing. You can see a character progression. Like you see what I'm saying? Like there was like not only with the outfit, with the with the whole thing,
right,
but his fighting style too. Like first he learned the heartbeat,
it almost
then he learned the breath. Then he kept going. Like
you can almost watch it like a video game where you see him leveling up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, here's a cool thing. They announced that at the end, towards the end of this year, they're going to start taping the Defenders series.
Oh, finally. Okay.
So they end of this year, like November.
But
And guess what they got it to the showrunners? The guy who are the showrunners from Daredevil. They're going to
continue? Okay, good. That's good.
So that's really cool because Daredevil has been so consistent. For two seasons.
How do you feel about the actual, you know, with the Jessica Jones like tie in?
I love Jessica Jones.
They had the Trinity.
I say Jessica Jones was a better show on Daredevil in terms of its writing.
Probably because it's a different creature.
It is, but it's a better show, you know, from a Cerebro standpoint. But visually, at Daredevil,
I still say Kilgrave.
But there's two different shows completely. That's good about it. They're not. The tone is different.
Like Jessica Jones, what makes her great is that she is like a neo crime noir character.
Yeah, exactly.
And like I'm a big crime noir guy. And one of the things that I've read a book about, like how to the world of crime noir, and they said that the number one rule of crime noir is to as soon as you think your character is going to be happy, smash his face through a window. And then you see what happens. So at the end of that first episode, when you think everything will be okay, and that girl JC takes out a gun and kills her mom and dad as the elevator's closing, I go, there's the window smash. Yeah. She's went blam. And then she had an opportunity to run. She says, no, fuck it. I got to face it.
That was a really good scene.
And to see it go all the way to the 13th episode, where at the end, all these people are calling Jessica Jones for help, and the camera's just pulling out, and she just looks so fucking beaten.
Yeah.
And she's just having a shot, and you hear a voiceover going, if I help enough people, maybe I can start to pretend that I'm as good as people think I am.
Yeah.
Like, that's perfect. That's hard-boiled detective fucking right out of the phone, right out of the book, the textbooks. So I loved all that.
I can't wait to tune them together, because I know we get Luke Cage 30th.
Oh, and by the way, Tribe Called Quest is scoring Luke Cage.
Oh, no way. Yeah,
And they're comparing, I read the vibe that you're going for Luke Cage is like The Wire. They want Luke Cage to be The Wire of the Marvel Universe. I'm like, that's going
to
be
I like to have to do the different tones. The only negative to that, and I'll say this because now you bring them all together, where does the tone go? Because I like Jessica Jones' tone, because it's different than Daredevil and the Luke Cage, that's the case. That's going to be different. Iron Fist, I'm sure, will be different.
Right.
Put them together.
Well, it's like
who,
the Avengers.
Who's taking
it's
lead?
Like, it's like
know?
The Avengers.
But Marvel and Marvel, their tone was kind of the same in all their movies.
Well, no, because...
Very humorous, very light.
Right. But, so this is very dark.
This is a dark world.
But
the difference between Daredevil and Jessica Jones is pretty great. I mean, it's not this... It's dark. They're both dark, but not the same tone at all.
What I think. If they're going to do a Defenders, a street-level Defenders, I think it's ultimately going to come down to the Hand. Making a big push to use...
Well, he'll have to. Well,
the dark sky. Whatever. I don't want to go to the dark.
Oh,
skies,
yeah.
But I figured the dark sky is going to unleash mystical dark energy.
Oh, it's going to be something.
And the Defenders are there. So it's going to be over the like a heightened, very dark action movie.
Great.
You know, all the action scenes you like the Daredevil, but I think the nitty grittiness of like what Punisher and Jessica Jones brought in. Mm-hmm. That's going to be people are going to have to make hard choices. They're gonna do things they're gonna regret for quote unquote for the greater good, and it's gonna be the kind of thing where even when they beat it, they're gonna be like, why do it's gonna be kind of thing like we should get together, but if we can't, let's prefer not to be together.
Exactly. Yeah.
Unless we absolutely.
This
so,
is gonna be just
unlike
personality.
Unlike the Avengers, unlike the Avengers, they're like, hey, when shit gets real, just call us. I was like, listen, unless somebody's dying. Don't call us. and I kind of like that thing where they'll respect each other and they'll work with each other, but like, you know, they realize that they got their own problems and so it's only when things get so big and it is a last ditch effort as opposed to the Avengers. So like, this is where the first line of defense. The Defenders are more like the last ditch effort.
Right. That's which would be great.
And I would love to see that.
Great. Yeah.
And I can't. And I,
so it would be out next year, I guess?
Next year, 2017.
So probably towards the end.
2017.
Because they'll probably do Luke Cage now. They're going to have.
Luke Cage, I would assume
Iron Fist is being filmed already.
Iron Fist first. Iron Fist is they're doing prep work, pre production
for
right now. And they'll go into Iron Fist production early next year.
So when it's going
to
do
it'll come out until, like, I think it'll probably come out around the same time that Jessica Jones came out.
Okay.
So, like, maybe like a February, March.
Okay.
And then towards
so they're gonna do like a Daredevil 3 maybe.
No, Daredevil 3 won't
until
after
Defenders. After
Defenders. Because
okay.
I think Defenders are gonna pick up a lot of the
oh, I see. So that
they'll
might
do all
so
the
Defenders
okay.
would be like a Daredevil 3
2.5.
Right, I guess. Oh,
right.
Which is
Defenders
fine. I guess.
Well,
it's
like like Marvel does. They didn't, you know, think Iron Man 3 came after Defenders and sort of Thor 2.
Iron Man 3 came out before Thor 2, right.
Right, but both came out after the Avengers.
Right, the Avengers, right.
Yeah, okay.
They continue the story.
Captain America was out. So, you know, they still do stand alone.
I will say this. Someone brought this idea to me. I go, that's fucking awesome. So the Hand, they do that thing where they can bring you back from the dead.
Right.
You know, that
well,
kind
that's
of
where Elektra, that's why they
Elektra
up,
and all the stuff. I go, what if the Hand brings back Purple Man? What if the Hand brings back Kilgrave? Because they could do that.
Wow.
And because the thing is, like,
interesting.
Yeah, Kilgrave is dead, but if you need someone who's gonna mass manipulate the city to do their bidding, that was the only misstep.
Jessica Jones was killing him off.
And that's what I was telling.
I mean,
you
I
about.
Get it,
I
but
get it.
I
thought
it'd be cool to use down the road, like Kingpin, you know, kill him
right.
off.
I think you needed to just for Jessica Jones to have closure. There's no other way.
That's what I'm saying. It was Danny kind of thing.
But here's the thing. Because he had all those new chemicals pumped in his body, they could do the whole, like, if he survived getting hit by a bus, maybe his body does, like, a slow burn heal to come back. Or if the Hand brings him back, like, both of those are acceptable reasons.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to
tell. I mean,
when we talked about Jessica Jones at the very beginning, like, a couple episodes back,
right.
I talked about that Kilgrave was such a good villain, and that I was actually, in a way, upset that they
got
rid of him.
A lot of people said he's very upset because
they had set him up so well,
right.
And that, you know.
Just funny, because I don't know what, I'm glad at least one part of Marvel can get villains right, because the movies, they can't do shit with the villain, it's upsetting, but... At least Netflix, they get him right.
Kingpin
was great.
So funny.
Oh, and he was only in one episode in the second season, like one and a half episodes.
Two. But
it was one and a half.
Well, either way, he was still there. But I'm saying, but he's still alive.
Guys, it was technically, if you want to be specific, he was like in three episodes. And the third episode is when Matt went to talk to him.
Oh,
that's
right.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
I forgot about that.
He went to go talk to him.
And when Matt realizes that he's
at the end.
The jail, he's like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, that's such a monster scene. And then the last time you see him is he goes, he realizes, like, that thing that Matt Murdock did to me, that's somebody who fights does that.
Yeah,
he goes,
exactly.
give me Murdock's file.
Yeah.
Like, that, I was like,
and
oh.
And you knew at that point.
It's great. He's
going to be the Defender's central villain. I don't see why.
I think it's going to be the Hand and Elektra. I don't think it's going to be Kingpin. I think they're going to save Kingpin. I think they're going to save Kingpin for Daredevil Season 3 when they bring in Bullseye. That's the only way you're going to do it. to make it monster. Bullseye comes in. Because here's the thing.
I mean, I get, no, you're right, because they got Iron Fist, who's, I'm sure, redirect tight end with the hand.
Oh, yeah. Degree, it's so. Very big. It's not like that. Actually, the Iron Fist won't tie directly into hand. You know he'll tie in with? That Asian lady with the
Asian hair. Asian lady. Right. Okay, right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember, the stamp is actually a version of the dragon that he gets tattooed on his chest.
Oh, see, so, you guys would know about that.
Yeah, but she has knowledge. She knows. She's aware of it. I'm sure they're going to. Yeah, because that's going
to
lead into the.
Well, defenders. They have to expand onto it so that the person that's not knowledgeable of all that.
Well, they'll feed you.
That's going to lead.
Which
into
is fine. Which is fine because I mean, some people are not as knowledgeable.
Oh no, I get it. Like when I see that shit, I go, oh, all right, I got a boom, boom, boom.
The comic book person that would understand, you know, they'll be like able to connect all the dots.
And then they'll water it down for regular people, and you get to see.
That's what they do, which is fine.
It's the best way to get people really into it by watering it down and making you feel like it's not. So over the top crazy until it gets over the top crazy. You're like, oh, fuck.
Because again, you start to keep it somewhat grounded to some degree. Because you want the casual fan watching these shows.
That's of course.
If it's just, you know, the diehards and then.
And by the way, one of the villains I really liked from Jessica Jones that no one seems to really address is the Nuke character, the cop who started going crazy by taking the pills.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
You forget about it. His character in comics is called Nuke. And he goes so crazy that he gets a tattoo of the American flag on his face, and he becomes I'm an uber patriot, and
he was the one that was trying to hook up with Jessica Jones. With the radio host.
By the way, she becomes a superhero character called Hellcat.
That's right.
There's a lot of like stuff that they put in there. That's,
I like her too.
Yeah, because they even put her training. So she can get better.
It's people almost don't. Kilgrave was such a good villain, you don't realize how many other things they planted throughout the series ready for you for later. And I'm like, I want to see Nuke come back, because Nuke's a real the shit that you do with him, he becomes like a half cyborg. His body just gets like, he just takes on more damage, on it gets crazy bananas. Hellcat becomes like a really like a hardcore street villain, hero for the most part. So like, and that's just for that corner of it. There's a lot of other stuff like in the comic books. I don't know if they would do that, but like in the comic books, Jessica Jones, she eventually marries
Luke Cage.
I know that.
But before she marries Luke Cage, she when they have like their on and off relationship, she starts dating Scott Lang, the Ant-Man.
Oh,
so she does this little thing with him with there, and then and she also dated there's another dude. Right, I'm just drawing a blank. But like one of the things she got hired to do is she finds out. That Steve Rogers is actually Captain America. She finds out he's living in Brooklyn, living in the Bronx. And so she realized, do I turn this information over to the guy or do I keep it secret? Mm-hmm. So like there's a lot of really cool stories that she's involved in that you haven't even gotten to yet. So like I'm just
but I doubt they'll go into the cross universes, quote unquote. I'd be surprised.
They insinuate a lot.
They insinuate, but I mean, just to let you know, it's the same universe.
Right.
But that, I think that's as far as they're gonna go. I don't think they're gonna.
I kind of hope they at least do a Shield crossover. I'd love to see Shield.
Because this universe. Tone is so different, and they want to keep that mature. And they, you know how it is, Marvel nowadays. We know.
Well, I
get it, and I'm fine with that. You're not gonna see Daredevil in freaking Infinity Wars. It's just not gonna happen. Nobody debunked that already. He doesn't really fit with the rest of that cast.
I don't know if he would have a primary role, but I would love to see cameos at least of them in it. Maybe even because
quick cameos in the shows. Okay.
Yeah, because here's the thing about Infinity War. The whole premise of that comic book storyline. And I hope this isn't considered a spoiler or not, but should I?
No, because I don't think, because we don't know what they're going to do in the movies.
Well, I think
they haven't really followed, but not extensively.
Thanos and Infinity Gauntlet, because I think they're calling it Infinity War because it sounds cooler, but I think they're going to base it off the Infinity Gauntlet storyline.
Oh, but they are, but that's not, I mean.
Right, know, so that, yeah but the basic premise of Infinity Gauntlet is that Thanos gets the Infinity Gauntlet, and the first thing he does is he wipes out half the life of the entire universe. He just wipes it all out. Just start off as a gift to death, because he's madly in love with death, and he's such an evolved cosmic entity, he can literally see death as like a person.
Interesting.
And he's fallen in love with her. So as a gift to her, he wipes out half the life of all the universe as a gift to her. So it'd be great if you just showcase all the TV series people and they just get wiped out of existence. So this way you're left with the movie characters. So I think that'd be a great way to kind of show that one moment where they're together and they're like, oh, that's why they're not here. They're all fucking dead. All of them are fucking dead. How great would I would love that. Like that would be a dope way. That would be such a like, oh, you wanted them in the movie? Yeah, all dead. That's what you got.
And here they go. Here they are, right here.
Fucking murdered. Dead. Like they never existed. Like and I think that'd be a smart way to show the TV character people in the same universe, but focus solely on the movie characters you want to do a thing on. I think that's the smartest way to do it. And it wouldn't cost that much. And people would love it because they know at the end it's going
to
be that.
We got to do small cameos. Like I would love to see Spider-Man enter the Daredevil world a little bit.
Oh my God, I would love
especially
that.
With Kingpin. It just makes perfect sense. Right. I know it's not going to happen.
Kingpin was originally a Spider-Man.
Exactly.
Right.
So yeah, I doubt it. It's a wishful thinking, but... Again, you never know, but that would make sense. That's a crossover.
It would be interesting. One episode, whatever.
Just there, dude, they meet each other, come and go.
If you remember the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Nick Fury was in it for two episodes.
Okay.
The entire series changed after Winter Soldier came out.
But they admit it's all tied in. With the shields, more tied in with the movies than the Netflix is. They've been saying it from the beginning. It's more that's really true part of the universe.
Right.
Netflix is.
But I feel like Netflix has it because they
mentioned, but they don't even say names. You hear the they got the hammer or whatever. They don't even come out with the name.
Well, except for when they're in Ben Urich's office. In Ben Urich's office, they have a rampage in Harlem, and it's a picture of the Hulk fighting the Abomination.
Oh, really?
And they have like Attack of New York, and it's all the Chitauri ships.
It's nothing direct. No names are being mentioned. You don't see.
Well, don't they say them? Captain America one time?
No, they talk about season one something about unless the guy has a hammer or something.
Right. Yeah.
Or whatever. It's something along those lines.
Right.
But that's usually how they keep very general, very broad, and it's like okay, it's like they don't want to mix and match that. Right.
Absolutely. I totally get it. But that's why I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would be the best middle ground from the Netflix shows to the Marvel movies. Because you're a spy organization. Sometimes shit gets real. And not only that, but like think about, I don't know if you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or not.
I enjoy
the series. The same week that Daredevil came out. So I was watching the second episode of the first season where he's that huge hallway fight scene. They did a one-track fight scene on their show, which was badass. I was like, holy fuck, this is awesome. And I almost feel like they saw what they did and goes, oh, we gotta do something like this too, because it's a really cool, it's a visual device. And they did a whole thing where one of the agents came in and she just kicked like seven dudes' ass, but it all was in one track. And she's shooting and she's fighting them. And I was like, that's dope as shit. I think they do affect each other, and it makes sense you can connect.
Wasn't Tony Jaa did that, right? Tony Jaa did that, didn't he? And I'm back too or something with the whole club scene that he's walking through.
No, it's the Protector.
The Protector.
The single shot.
But
never in a TV series about superheroes. That was what made it stand out.
No, exactly. So, it's different.
But yeah, that's like I think if there's ever any show that can connect closely to the movies, if you're never gonna be in the movies, I think it's gonna be the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that I would love to see that. It doesn't have to be the whole cast,
right?
One or two guys to show up.
It's possible,
especially at the end.
It's a small time.
If it's the Defenders and it's a big fucking movie epic where they're gonna be fighting on the stuff, S.H.I.E.L.D.
It would have to be big because it's Defenders. I'm talking about four or five, whatever.
I think it's gonna be four.
Punisher, did they announce
anything
with him?
There was rumors, they never
announced. They did announce that he was gonna get a separate thing
are
for
they?
Him.
There's
yeah,
a
no,
rumor.
No, no.
I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't know if they ever confirmed it or not.
But they need to.
I thought that they did say that he was gonna get a spin-off series because
they need it bad.
Let me tell you something. I would love to see Punisher in the Defenders. I think
that's what. Yeah,
he's earned a spot on that show for sure.
He does a good job.
Not part of the initial team, but he shows up halfway.
But he's there. Yeah, he's there causing a ruckus. Because the ideologies don't match. I don't think they can work together, him and Daredevil.
No. I think Jessica Jones can work with Punisher.
Yes.
I think Jessica Jones can work with Punisher.
Put the Punisher all in. Put Punisher and Luke Cage. Put the Punisher and Jessica Jones.
No, Luke Cage.
Put him in there. anyway. It's the Punisher, dude. It's the Punisher, dude.
I would like to see the Punisher go up against Luke Cage, and Luke Cage is like, what are you doing? Like, what are you?
Really, dude?
You're just fucking up my clothes.
It's like, alright. And he leaves. A quick cameo. I'm telling you, he will make any show better. I really love that adaptation, that version of the Punisher in that show. It was
awesome. Yeah, and even at the end, even when they showed him in full
costume. That was awesome, dude. Finding out with the skull shirt.
Yeah, with the skull shirt. That was
the Punisher. Nothing felt we haven't forced. Seen.
I love the fact that it was his X-ray that inspired him
to
paint.
Yes,
like, I thought all that stuff was so meticulously well established. It never felt out of place.
And that's what we're talking about. There was progression for every character. Yeah. You know, even the Punisher, how he was
introduced. Even Elektra. Elektra thought that she knew what life was. She discovered one big secret, and it changed her all around.
It just to me, she's not bad. She just wasn't as interesting as like Daredevil or Punisher.
Yeah, there was Punisher was so good.
I just, can we get back to the Punisher, please? Because he's so good.
And here's the thing, you know? Elektra becomes more interesting now because of what's gonna happen.
Oh, that's when
this is when she becomes really.
There's a lot of setup, and that's fine.
A lot of setup.
They could have given one or two episodes. Then they gave her like a 4-episode arc before they went back to the Punisher heavy stuff. So. Yeah. Two episodes, I would have been okay with, and then sprinkle her in.
And that's what I like. It was almost like 4 episodes, a break, 4 episodes of another character, a break, and then 4 episodes, and then like they all twined
together. I actually like that four episode structure.
It was 4 episodes with the Punisher and Daredevil. Then they brought in Elektra right when the episode 4 finished.
No, I agree. I just took me like, Elektra, even if they would have started with Elektra first.
And even episode 8 and 9, they put the Kingpin in. When they had the whole prison thing, the trial was over.
It was an arc that the last part of the arc led into a new arc. It almost felt like a comic book in a sense where you read this one arc and then you, oh shit! So it always felt ongoing, but you got a semi-resolution to the thing.
And even when it felt like, okay, they should end it, like they shouldn't go any further. Then like they got kind of into the reader's head, and they were like, okay, time for us to finish and move on to the next one. And then like they felt like, okay, we milked it enough. Now we can go to the next.
Well, I never thought they milked it. I thought, but you know what I mean.
Like, okay, it's time for a natural progression. It's like a progression.
Before you got too sick of something. They moved on to something else.
Right.
I like that.
Which is fine.
And when we moved on, it wasn't even out of left field. It's like, remember that thing that happened like 6 episodes ago? Well, shit, like life, shit moves forward. Yeah. And that's why I was like, this is really cool. Everything felt progressive. Everything felt organic and moved forward.
Which is why I like this one better in the first season.
Right. Personally. And I know, absolutely. Because the first season felt like one big storyline.
Which is what it was.
Remember, they were trying to introduce the character for those that didn't
know.
And the thing I said earlier is that I did feel like season 2 of Daredevil felt a lot like Dark Knight in terms of the ideas, but they went such different ways with it. In terms of escalation, it wasn't the Joker, it was the Punisher. Yeah. You know, when Punisher saw what Daredevil did, there's a little part of that made him think like, fuck, if this is a guy doing that, I should be able to do this for my family. So that idea of escalation, I thought was really great. Yeah. The idea of like a criminal organization biting off more than they can chew, turns out it was a criminal organization with a bigger plan than you thought it was. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of the similar ideas, but they went very different ways with it, and which I thought was really smart. Because sometimes, sometimes Daredevil, Batman, there's a lot of similarities between the two. But it's the different ways they go about it that make them such interesting characters.
So, and I even did like the fact when Wilson Fisk is looking at the white wall, and then Daredevil was looking at the red wall.
Yeah, that was great.
Was looking at the red. You know, like the comparison and the opposite.
That's what again with going back to the Punisher and Daredevil. Again, we're going back to Batman v Superman. What they failed to do was they gave us, just like Captain America did, the two ideologies of these two people who are obviously going against each other. And they both make sense.
And here's the beauty.
You see the beauty of both.
Of the Daredevil season. At one point, Daredevil's convinced, you're right, Punisher. We got to do it your way. And Punisher goes, you can't go my way.
Exactly.
Like, that was an amazing moment. Punisher's like, just because I do it doesn't mean you. Like, you have to be better than me. I'm doing what you don't have to.
And that's how you do a conflict of ideology. Didn't
he say you are one person from being me?
One bad day from being me.
And that's what I like. But he knew that they brought it right.
Punisher understood that, hey, this is, I believe mine's the right way, but doesn't mean that you should be doing that.
Because I'm already doing it so you don't have to.
Exactly.
And that's what I liked. And that was the thing I liked. That you can see Elektra's point of view and you know where she was coming from. You can even see Styx's ideology.
As fucked up as Styx was, you saw Styx. Styx was very matter of fact. This is it. And if you get in my way, fuck you.
That's basically. But you see, like, you see all these ideologies, and you can actually have a logic for everybody.
Right.
Like, you see where Stick is coming from. You see where the hand is coming from. You see where the Chinese lady is coming from. Right. You see where Fisk is coming from. You see where everybody's coming from. And they did it right. Yeah. Batman Superman is just two people, and they can't get that right.
No, it's two people, like, and one of them has a reason, and the guy's just...
And the other one is...
They got half right. They got Batman's side.
Batman's
side. Well, that's what they got. Like, I'm telling you, they got one right.
Batman's right. Superman.
I'm like, how can one series get six ideologies, seven... correctly, and one movie that has two, they can't get it right.
The more I think about the winner, the less I like it. Yeah, I'm gonna get to it. I'm talking about the way that nauseam.
Let it go.
We're gonna end on that note. Great. Jesus.
What a dirty taste in your mouth.
God, I take a shower after this.
This was so great until we went there.
See, that's the only bad thing of watching Civil War 3 weeks early. It's now I have to wait 3 fucking weeks to go see it again. I kind of want to see it again. Damn it, it's only April. Oh, God, but either way, so we don't want to run too long. Good show, Eric. Thanks again for showing up. Dude, talk a little bit about what you're up to, what's coming up for you, man. Any
sure.
Shows coming up?
Well, by the time this episode comes out, I will be in the Carolina Comedy Club in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I'll be there Wednesday through Friday, which I believe is the April 20 through the 23rd. So if you're in town, come by. If you follow me on Twitter at the Silva Comic, and you're in town, just hit me up. I'll get you guys discounted or free tickets. I'll see what I can do. So, you know, I just mention your fans are the real mentors, and I'll get you guys in. And you can check out my website, ericdasilva.com, ericdasilva.com, and it has my tour schedule, and you could just follow me on all the social media and stuff, Facebook.
We'll have a link set up on the...
Okay. Obviously, when we put up the episode, we'll let you know what's going on. The 20th is a Wednesday, by the way.
And if you guys want to hear me do stand-up, my first album's out right now. It's called Adorably Offensive. My second album comes out this fall. It's going to be called Not a Beautiful Mind. And, check that out, too. And you could get them, Pandora and Amazon and all the stuff, iTunes, the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, awesome. Georgia.
So, we'll put all that.
Plugosaurus Rex, what you got for us? That name has really stuck on you, you know?
Yeah, it has stuck, I guess. Nah, it's just, again, like you say, feel our need to go to the movies, let us know if you like us or not, give us a comment, let us know what you thought about the show, what we can do, got some ideas, and maybe we can work a series that you would like to do for us to know, talk about, a poll, anything that you want to give us a comment, whether you like us, you don't like us, anything like that, we're always trying to answer us. Yeah.
Let us know if Morpheus is the villain of the Matrix.
Yeah, Morpheus is the villain of the Morpheus.
If you listen to episode
eat more chicken.
Eat more chicken. I'm right, damn it, I'm telling you. Of course, you can cast my reviews on YouTube, The Real Mentor. We get currently up have Captain America, guys. Comes out in a couple weeks. If you guys are excited, you have a right to be. If you're not excited, you should be. It's really, really good. Cast my review on there. I think I will have 500 some views already in 2 days. I'm pretty excited about that. Either way, so we'll see you guys next episode. We got a spoiler full review of Captain America coming up in about a week or so. You wait till you're dead. For those who like spoilers, people like spoilers. Some people don't. It is what it is. We'll have that soon. Of course, episode 13, we're going to have up probably tomorrow. So that obviously will be up by the time this shows up and all that. So thanks again, guys. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.